Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also with me. And today we're going to take a look at popular culture Mulan 2020 and an article from the New American called Disney Pushes Democrat Chinese Propaganda on Kids as It Profits Off Barbaric Beijing. And this came out just, what, 3 or 4 days ago, Bill. Anything shocking here? Disney is big time excited about Communist China. They're thankful for filming in the Xinjiang region of China, the same place where a million Uyghurs have been rounded up and put into concentration camps. And that's where they filmed. Not only did Disney have the permission of the Chinese government to film in the region, but if you pay attention to the credits in the film, they even thank some of the authorities who were involved in the concentration camps in the credits of the film.
Yeah, the Uyghurs are being, it's a genocide.
They're committing genocide. Right. But here's the kicker. Back when Mulan was still in production last year, Disney CEO Bob Iger explained how difficult it was to work in a place like Georgia, where a Republican legislature had passed a law making abortion illegal after the detection of a fetal heartbeat. So here we have the Republicans didn't want to kill people with heartbeats in Georgia, and Disney can't stand that idea that people aren't being killed wholesale in Georgia. People with heartbeats aren't being killed. The Disney CEO is so committed to killing people with heartbeats, he can't imagine filming in Georgia where people are not being killed right and left, I guess by the tens of thousands. He would like to see people killed by the tens of thousands in Georgia, people with a heartbeat, children with a heartbeat. And meanwhile, you've got, you know, them moving into China up into the region in which all of this genocide's going on. And you understand that they are harvesting organs from live adults in these areas. And evidently, Disney CEO, the Disney organization, is pretty happy about this.
Yeah, they're fine with that. They're fine with genocide, but they can't stand pro-life movements.
Yeah, they're not very happy with the fact that Georgia has taken something of a pro-life stance, and they're trying to minimize the killing of babies with heartbeats and perhaps even the harvesting of organs, because that was an issue for a number of years. I'm sure that Disney is A-OK with Planned Parenthood harvesting organs, but they're probably frustrated that there isn't enough organ harvesting happening in America. There is a fair amount of organ harvesting happening in communist China, in right. these concentration camps where the Mulan film was produced. Now, not in the camps, but somewhere in proximity to the camps. And evidently, according to this article from the New American, the Disney organization thanked some of the authorities who are involved in the concentration camps in the credits of this film, Mulan 2020.
You know, it harkens back to that old film, Soylent Green, with Charlton Heston. And it was that people are commodities to be used, harvested, and not to be valued as anything other than a commodity. And that's what you see when you leave God in the dustbin, is that then people are also thrown in the trash bin because there's no value, there's no purpose.
But does it surprise you that the Democrats, who are so committed to killing babies in America, seem to be okay with the genocide that's happening with adults
right.
in communist China? This appears to be the case. Would you agree that there is something of a support of communist China and the genocide that they're doing to the Uyghur population?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, it is mind-boggling that the hypocrisy is so blatant and yet not exposed.
You think the president of the United States would oppose this genocide that's going on in communist China?
No. He dismissed the genocide against the Uyghur population, dubbing the mass internment a, quote, different norm, end quote.
And that's recent. This just happened.
Yes. Yes, this was just yesterday, February 17.
Okay.
February 17, in his CNN town hall, Here's how he skirted the issue. Now, see if this makes any sense to you, which most of what the president says is nonsensical anyway, because you can't put words together. If you know anything about Chinese history, it has always been the time when China has been victimized by the outer world is when they haven't been unified at home. So the central, well, vastly overstated, the central principle of Xi Jinping is that there must be a united, tightly controlled China, and he uses his rationale for the things he does based on that. Did he answer the question?
I don't think so, but I think he is saying that China has the right to maintain its cultural unity, and they will maintain their cultural unity by exercising genocide upon the Uyghur population. And so he's justifying it. That's what it sounds like. Well, it sounds like he's justifying the genocide that's going on. And this may be one of the most egregious genocides going on in the world today.
Yeah. He goes on to say that Xi gets it. He said, culturally, there are different norms that each country and their leaders are expected to follow.
And this is in relation to the genocide that's going on the Uyghur population.
Yeah.
Well, friends, no surprise. They're killing babies here. They're killing adults in China. And apparently the left is A-OK, all on board with this. Be back with more in just a moment on The Generations Broadcast.
Attention, homeschool parents. Here at Generations, we know that finding literature curriculum that engages your children's minds and helps them develop a strong Christian worldview can be an overwhelming task. That's why we've developed a Christian discipleship-focused literature curriculum that's centered around the most important work of literature ever written, the Word of God. Not only do our Bible-centric courses seek to place Christ at the head of literature studies, but they will also teach your children how to analyze all literature from a Christian perspective, enabling them to be more than conquerors in today's battle of worldviews. By introducing them to the essential stories of the faith, along with the written works of history's best Christian authors, our literature curriculum provides the bedrock for a firm foundation of faith in the hearts of your children. So, get started today with Generations Christian Discipleship Curriculum and watch your children embark on an incredible journey towards strengthening their faith and discovering the greatest Christian stories ever told. You can learn more and browse our selection of carefully curated works at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
And we are back on the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Bill Jack, Worldview Academy, also here. Coming back to the cultural influences of the country, friends, it's not just the political organizations that form the zeitgeist and set the direction of a nation. No, no, it's also the cultural systems that maintain the direction for the nation. In fact, if anything, the cultural influence is much more powerful than the political influences. Mulan 2020 gives as one more example of this. And Disney has become a tool of the left. Perhaps the most insidious, the most malevolent, the most aggressively progressive media organization in the country. We've called it the Pied Piper of Hamelin cubed. It's the Pied Piper of Hamelin cubed, which means what? Which means its primary function is to indoctrinate children into the leftist progressive agenda. And they've done that very well for the last 20, 30 years.
Yeah. Yeah. They have led children down the road to destruction. And there's a pushback on this whole Mulan movie. In fact, pro-democracy activists in Hong Kong, in Taiwan, and in Thailand have urged moviegoers to boycott the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the biggest releases since the film production industry shut down because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And there's now calls for boycotting.
Well, and that's for people who still have some concern for human rights here and there around the world. Not many here in the United States would boycott Mulan 2020. But I'd like to also get to the worldview behind it, because, Bill, that's even more insidious, I think, than just the filming in this area in which genocide is happening and the support of the genocide. I'm assuming there is some support for the genocide. If there is support for the communist governments in the area that are producing this genocide. It seems to me that that makes sense. But that's not the fundamental problem.
No.
The fundamental problem with Disney are the ideas that they're espousing that have such a corrupting influence upon the souls of young children. Yeah, it's one thing to support the killing of children in Georgia. And apparently that's what they do, because they complain about not killing children with heartbeats.
Right.
So if they're complaining about not killing children with heartbeats, it seems to me that the Disney organization is in favor of killing children. Okay, they want to kill children physically, but they're also very much active in the killing of children by way of worldview.
Right.
Killing their minds, their souls.
Abortion and genocide are but the fruits of the ideas that they're inculcating into moviegoers, especially children.
What you find with Mulan 2020, friends, is the typical existentialistic, you can be whatever you want to be. So the typical stuff. So existentialism, the Jean Paul Sartre, you define your own self by your own choices. You define your own reality by defining your own ethics, et cetera. So we get that. That's the typical existentialism that almost totally dominates Hollywood. But there's also extensive explanations and applications of witchcraft in this movie. That by the channeling of the key force, you've heard of the key force, Bill? The channeling of the key force may be used to dark ends or good ends. So that's
Star Wars.
It's the Star Wars thing. Yeah, all over again. Yeah. But there's a fairly extensive explanation to the children watching as to how it works.
So it's a little bit more begin practicing.
A little bit more witchcraft 101, witchcraft 102 in the narrative of the movie. We're talking about Mulan 2020, friends, introducing your children to witchcraft. That is the key force being channeled to dark ends or good ends, depending on whether you want to use black magic or white magic. So those terms are used in the film. There's apparently it's forbidden to use the power of ki in destructive ways, is one of the quotes. So it's wrong to use it in destructive ways. It's right to use it in constructive ways. There's also ancestor worship, which is, by the way, something that we were up against when we were missionaries in Japan. This was probably the primary sin of the Easterners. They tended to want to worship their ancestors. Very, very common among pagan tribes. But this is being brought back so that, apparently, tens of millions of American Christian children will be worshiping their ancestors sometime soon, apparently. So prayers to ancestors, the honored phoenix, et cetera, et cetera. I beseech you, ancestral guardian, watch over my daughter Mulan. So, you know, that kind of thing shows up. The movie explains to us the ki pervades the universe and all living things. We are all born with it, but only the most true will connect deeply to his ki and become a great warrior, tranquil as a forest, but one fire within. Now, Chinese religions speak of the ki force, its power, its energy, its flowing through all living things. And via yoga, meditation, and altering one's consciousness, one is supposed to be able to master the energy and enjoy better health and even perform some supernatural feats. So that's the Eastern religion that is once again being promoted by this film. And Bill, this is not the first time this has happened.
No, this is a recurring theme with Disney. And it is the idea that the occult can be harnessed for power. And young children are enamored by that. They can be seduced by that. And parents need to be very, very cautious in what they put before their children's eyes. Mulan is just the latest incarnation of this whole occultic theme that Disney has promoted for years and years.
Now, Bill, I'd like to, you know, do a critique on this key force, because some have referred to the key force in terms of their use of Eastern medicine. I run into people in America who speak of the key force. Some of the ideologies are tied into the essential oils businesses and other things. Not to say that's wrong to use essential oils at all, but I'm just simply saying that the tying in of pagan religions to the use of these applications is problematic for us, and it should be. It becomes food offered to idols because the idols are the ideology, and we don't support the ideology. The key force is an impersonal energy field. It's not sourced in God. Yeah. And our God is a personal God. He is the source of all power. But the key force is an impersonal energy force that can be accessed by the will of man or by impersonal causes. And that's very, very different from a biblical world and life view. God is the source of all power, and God is a personal being.
And he's not manipulated by us.
Yeah.
And the...
Right.
The whole idea of the key is that, and it's spelled C-H-I, and it's supposed to be the energy, the vital energy that is held to animate the body internally and is of central importance in Eastern mysticism as medical treatment. Acupuncture is part of that, and exercise and self-defense. Tai Chi as a martial arts system is part of that. Now, it's synonyms for that would be, you know, your energy or ki key or your aura, or your vibe. You've heard those terms. And when people talk about that, they're referring to this principle, and it's from Eastern religions. And just as yoga, which for the Hindu is prayer, like prayer to the Christian, so is yoga for the Hindu. Yoga is not merely physical exercise. There is a spiritual aspect attached to it. And so when yoga is brought into the Western world, it is sold as exercise. You've seen yoga classes offered by various churches, and they don't see the connection. They don't see the connection that it has a spiritual aspect to it. And so Mulan is not just a pleasant story about overcoming difficulty and rising to a position of influence. It has to do with and relies heavily on this idea of Eastern mysticism.
Right. And on the ethical side of things, the force is supposed to have this dark side and this good side, which puts good and evil on an equal basis in terms of their powers.
It's like Zoroastrianism.
It is. Yes. Very similar to Zoroastrianism, which probably is the source of much of this this ideology.
But in God, there is no darkness. Okay? He is light.
And when you have two equal forces battling it out within the universe, both of equal power, one dark, one light, there can be no God then, no ultimate transcendent definition of good established by God who is over all. And that's what happens. That's the insidiousness of this. Same thing with polytheism. It allows for competing ethics, competing powers, competing gods. And so when you have the dark side, the good side, all fighting over the same power within the same universe, and the power is not sourced in God, my friends, you have a pagan religion to the core. This is a false worldview. It is as evil as the demonic religion that is espoused in the garden with Eve. This is it. And I would caution you to sit your children at the feet of these great philosopher masters that produce these $100 million films, and let them absorb these false worldviews that are just pure evil. We need to be able to cast down these imaginations, Bill, and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God and Christ, and that includes this Eastern concept of the key force. There's also the worldview of feminism that shows up in Mulan 2020. Witchcraft, as I mentioned, is a major theme. Now, witchcraft was a major theme in the 1830s, 1840s first wave of feminism with people like Victoria Woodhull and Elizabeth Cady Stanton. It turns out witchcraft often attends feminism, and here's why. Feminist witches are pretty intoxicated with the seeking out of power. Witchcraft is all about power, and that's what this movie is about. This movie is about securing power, harnessing the key force, the key power of the universe for your own use. And that, my friends, is intoxicating to feminists. It's intoxicating to women. It's intoxicating to little girls. It's intoxicating to the witches, the feminist witches that formed the first wave of feminism in the 1830s and 1840s. You read about that in American Gods Providence as to how the feminist wave began in the 1830s, largely with people like Victoria Woodhull, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, and others. But the theme of Milan is really girl power, to achieve the great objective of feminism, to gain power over men, to compete for power in a dog-eat-dog world. The lure of power is very strong, and young women sometimes want to exercise power over their husbands and compete for control and power. Friends, that, of course, is not a biblical world and life view. Biblical world and life view, we're not competing over power, we're just given different roles in the home. Now, it's true that wives are to submit themselves to their husband as to the Lord, and husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So we have different roles, different focal points in the marriage to allow for different roles that God has given to each of us in the marriage.
But we stand equal before an almighty God. We are all in need of a Savior. And so to change the perspective on the role of men and women then destroys the basic family unit, and it dishonors God. You know, I mentioned the Star Wars series and how this is very similar to that, and it's this impersonal force has a light side and a dark side. And people say, well, you're just making too much out of a movie. It's just for entertainment. I'd refer people to George Lucas, the producer of Star Wars, and his comment. I've always tried to be aware of what I say in my films, because all of us who make motion pictures are teachers, teachers with very loud voices.
Mm-hmm. The loudest of voices, yeah. Really, in our culture. You got it. These are the people that set the zeitgeist and undermine the Christian world and life view, more so than the university, I think, because they have such influence over so many, and of course the kids actually pay attention in these movies because they're so fun to watch. Well, also realize that that this movie is also an argument for women in the military. So keep that in mind too. This is a feminist movie, but it's also produced at a time in which the culture is doing everything they can to return women into combat. And Mulan's father sends his daughter out to fight the nation's battles. She dresses in a man's uniform, which, by the way, is exactly forbidden in Deuteronomy. A woman shall not wear a man's garment. That term, man's garment, is a term for military garb.
Hmm.
It's very interesting. A woman shall not wear a man's military garb, nor shall a man put on a woman's cloak, for whatever or whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. That comes from Deuteronomy 21. But basically, this is an argument for women in the military. The treatment of women in warfare actually changed dramatically in the Christian age, where the Christian influence was strong. Of course, abortion began to dissipate quickly. Abortion went away in the 300s and 400s. Homosexuality went away in the 300s and 400s. Women in the military dropped off. Slavery dropped off. But slavery a little longer. It took until about the 1100s before slavery was pretty much eliminated. So it took a long time for the Christian influence to impact the Western world. I tell the story in Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West. But the treatment of women in warfare changed dramatically in the Christian age. Women actually became honored. Women were honored. Women were protected. Women were provided for. Following Columba of Iona, it was Adamnan, a pastor who was active in the 680s and 690s. He took up the role of abbot in Iona, and he was best known for his draft of the Law of the Innocents. And I read the whole thing and included part of it in my book, Epoch. This legal edict, for which he obtained signatures from 91 tribal leaders throughout the British Isles. What it would do is it banned the employment of any woman in an assault, a host, or a fight. The compact required that women be not in any manner killed by men, through slaughter or any other death, either by poison or water or fire, or by other beast or in pit or by dogs, but that they shall die in their lawful bed. He who from this day forward shall put a woman to death that does not do penance according to the law shall not only perish in eternity, but be cursed of God. The same legislation protected women from rape and other abuse. And the language stands as a remarkable example of the Christianization of public morality and civil law in the Western world. Adamnan, this pastor, had personally witnessed the scenes of mangled bodies of female warriors lying dead on the fields of battle. One medieval source quoted the Law of the Innocents recorded that, "They beheld the battlefield. They saw nothing more touching and pitiful than the head of a woman in one place and the body in another, and her little babe upon the breasts of the corpse, a stream of milk upon one of its cheeks, and a stream of blood upon the other." So the point being that in the 600s, early 700s, this pastor, this Irish pastor, was able to eliminate women in combat for probably the first time in pagan history. And that continued for 9 to 1,000 years, as did the obliteration of infanticide and abortion, until the return of abortion, infanticide, homosexuality, and women in the military, and that has come back in the last 30 years. Friends, you can read about this story in my book, Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, and it is available for pre-purchase, and it is available for pre-production order right now at generations.org. That's Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, now available for order. We got a 25% off the cover price right now on the website. Check it out if you would like a copy of the epoch, the story of the rise and fall of the Western world. Get your copy now at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.